One, two, three, go. Okay. Well, this is really so special to be here. First of all, thank you for hosting it. And I'd like to thank all those that keep nagging me. You all know who you are. And you're not one and not two. There's a few of you that get the honorable mention and credit. So I don't know if I can sit. Can I sit? Can we like do this informal and sit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could just be like chill.
Yeah. Totally.
All right, cool. All right. So we're gonna sit. Pardon? Ah, very good. Yes. Okay, yes. So we'd like to give the shir Lilui Nishmas.
Pinchas ben Nachon something.
Okay. I can't help you on this one.
It will tell you in a second.
Okay.
Okay.
Take your time.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Harav Pinchas ben
Nachon. Is this a stalling tactic? Pinchas
ben Nasan Chanoch
HaKohen. I've been Ulu and Neshama. And the mourners should be comforted. So I'll tell you honestly, this isn't so much my speed, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't like to do things last minute. But just yesterday I was asked, yesterday afternoon, and just landed yesterday morning. Yesterday afternoon I was asked if I would share a few words. So I kind of like slapped together a few different ideas. Well, not slapped together, but put together a few different ideas, and we'll learn it together. We'll study together. This will be a big workshop together, okay? And we'll see if we can make some sense out of it. Diane, what's the problem? To make sure. Yeah. And we'll see what comes of it. It might be a little bit. I'll tell you the way I think is I think in general, I try to think a little deeper, and then when I speak, what I need the time to do is really make it more relevant. I like to think a little bit more abstractly usually, but so we'll see. But I think this is an idea or two that will be very relevant to us, and we'll play with it. We'll use it as silly putty, and we'll play with it. I'll share with you a Dvar Torah, which I think you'll like. I think it's very nice Dvar Torah. It relates to last week's Parsha, and then later on we'll connect it a little bit to this week's Parsha as well. And, you know, we'll put it all together. Oh, it's also Rosh Chodesh, right? Tonight, Rosh Chodesh Adar. Shinuch Mas Adar. Mar Mesimcha, very nice. Two times Adar. The Parsha last week discusses the difference between a Ganav and a Gazlan, yeah? What's a Ganav? A thief, right? And what's a Gazlan?
I don't know.
a thief as well. They're both thieves, yeah? They're both thieves. They're two types of thieves, right? A Ganav is somebody who's a thief at night, meaning he steals, but he hides himself from, you know, both from man and from God. Whereas a gazlan is a thief by force. We call it the difference, I guess, between a robber and a mugger, maybe. Maybe we can use that distinction, right? Somebody will rob you. Or maybe not. Maybe we say it, they'll rob you also straight up. But if we had to make a distinction, so a robber will be somebody that will sneak in the dead of night and steal your stuff. Whereas a mugger is somebody that would come up to you and just, you know, God forbid, not you, but right, point a gun or a knife and say, you know, give me all you got, right? Now, the halacha is as follows. The halacha is that a ganev, okay, a ganev is somebody that does it in secrecy. A ganev pays kefel. When he has to pay back, yeah, retribution, he has to pay double the amount that he stole. That's a ganev. And that's the halacha only by a ganev. A gazlan, somebody that comes up to you, straight up to your face, and says, hey, you know, he doesn't have to pay kefil. He just pays back the keren, it's called. It means whatever he stole is what he has to give back. That's the halacha, okay? That's a gemara, and that's very well known, and that's famous, and that's the discussion. And the question is, why? Yeah? So the Gemara says that a ganav, you see, why does he get punished more? So the Gemara in Baba Kama says, you know why? Because a ganav, you see from his actions that he's more afraid of man than God. Why is he more afraid of man than God? How do his actions represent the fact that he's more afraid of man than God? Yeah, he's hiding. He's hiding from man. He's hiding from man, so you see, he has more fear of man than he does of God. Whereas a Goslin doesn't. A Goslin's equal fear. Yeah, doesn't fear anybody. I don't fear man, I don't fear God. But whatever, let it all fly. So we punish the fact that a Ganav has more fear of man than God by making him pay double. That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Baba Kama. And now the question is, if you think about it, really, I could tell you exactly the opposite. Like, what do you mean? A Ganav steals. Stealing from people. Doesn't care from people. A Goslin steals from people. Doesn't care about people. A Ganav is sinning against God. He's taking stuff. And a Goslin is sinning against God. They're doing the same thing. Yeah? And their fear is the same fear. I don't care about people. I'm just doing it in a smart way. I don't fear people. I'm just doing it in a way that's wise, that's smart, that's sharp. Why really does he have to pay double? What's the real idea behind the fact that he has to pay double? Why? Why are we punishing him for the fact that he has a little bit of a conscience or a moral? That's the question. So the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam, explains a very difficult concept to understand. The Gemara says, okay, I'm getting up a little bit. The Gemara says, I'm warming up. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Kashe hirhure aveira yoser me aveira atzma. Right? What does that mean? Who knows what that means? Yeah? Shoot.
The thought of doing aveira is worse than aveira itself?
Yeah. So how do you understand that? The thought of an aveira, hirhure aveira, when you think in a sin, that's worse than actually sinning. Now that really, if you think about it, makes zero sense. Because the thought of sinning, what's the fear? That what are you going to do? You're going to sin, right? Yeah, sit here from here to tomorrow and think about sinning, right? But the thought of the sin is, the fear is, seemingly, that you're going to sin. So how can you tell me just the thought of doing it is worse than actually doing it? It doesn't make any sense, right? So how can the Gemara say, Kashe hirhure aveira, the thought of sinning, yosir me aveira atzma, is worse than the sin itself? It makes no sense. But how do you explain that? Nah, I'm not going to make a bracha when I drink that. I'm not going to make a bracha. I'm not going to, when I eat those chips, no way. That doesn't get a hadama. That's pain, no way. And I take it and I take a bite and I eat it without a bracha. So which is worse? You can't take it. I can sit and think about it from here to tomorrow. Right? When I actually do it, so what do you mean? Yeah, a bracha.
Maybe because before you do it, you're like all nervous about it, whatever. But then when you actually do it, you're like, oh, it wasn't so bad.
So, and therefore, which would be worse?
Before. It would be worse before, because
I would think the aveira is worse then. Because when I'm thinking about it, oh no, oh no, oh no, at least I get tzchar for that. Oh no, oh no, I'm going to sin. He's going to strike me down. Then as soon as I eat it, I'm like, oh, it actually wasn't so bad. If anything, I've lost more level of Yerusha mine, right? Right?
Well, is it that he's getting, it's worse when he thinks about it and then does the aveira, or just thinking about it?
Just thinking about it. Here, hooray of
error. Because it would make sense that if you think about doing something bad and then do it,
right? It's no, worse that's than for sure. Like, as opposed to just actually doing it, you're absolutely right. I agree with you.
But I'll say that you get tired for something that you wanted to do but was stopped to do.
Oh, very good. So we're going to touch on that in a second as well. We're going to touch on that. That seems to be a little bit of a contradiction. Okay. What Tamar is saying is like this. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin that says the following thing. The Gemara says, "Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitzaref machshava ra'a lemaisa." When it comes to a bad thought, you could sit from here to tomorrow and think about a bad thought, yeah? But so long that you don't go through with it, you're good to go. You're fine. Hashem doesn't say, oh, no, well, you thought about doing a bad deed, and therefore I'm going to punish you. No. Okay, well, we'll get to it. So how does that fit with this Gemara also? How does that fit with the Gemara of Kashe Hirhure Aver, Yosem Rever? So the answer to your question, Amy, is that no, even just the Hirhure Aver, just the thought of doing it, even though I didn't go through with it, it's Kashe, it's more difficult, it's worse off than the Aver Atzma. So how do we understand? It's a very difficult Gemara. So how do we explain it? So the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim says an amazing idea. Okay, he says an amazing thing. I'm going to get comfortable. Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Okay? So the Rambam says the following thing. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that we're made up, I mean, we know this, we're made up of guf and neshama. Okay? That's what we're made up of. Okay? Now, the guf is just our physical being. That's what we are, right? And when we do a sin, so we have, so to speak, contaminated our guf, right? That's what we did. We've ruined the vehicle with which we're supposed to use to utilize service of Hashem. That's what we did, right? Now, the neshama, or let's go even a little bit more, machshava, the thought, is the vehicle that we're supposed to use to connect us to spirituality, right? The vehicle we're supposed to use to connect us to spirituality is not just the physical. Physical is nothing. That's just actions, right? But what connects us? What makes something spiritual? What makes something more connected, more ruchani? Yeah? That's the machshava. So when I sit and I think about an avera, I don't do it, but I think about it, what I've done is I've contaminated, right? I've puzzled, I've contaminated the ultimate vehicle that I'm supposed to use to connect me towards Hashem. Who's that?
Dasi.
Dasi.
I'm here. I'm here.
I know, we have a seat here special for you, Dasi. No, it's okay. It's okay. You can say that. Okay. Yeah? So this is an amazing idea that the Rambam is saying. What he's saying is that we have a koach ha-machshava, the power of thought, and we take that thought and we contaminate it by sitting and thinking about it all the time. And when I think about it, so I've taken the ultimate vehicle, something I'm supposed to use to connect me to spirituality, and I've used it, I've contaminated it, I've used it in a very negative sense, in a very negative way. That's worse than just taking the car and smashing it, right? That's worse off, yeah? Because I've taken the ultimate vehicle, what I'm supposed to use to make everything around me ruchani, to make everything around me spiritual, I've taken it and I've just ruined it. Yeah? That's what the Rambam says. And that's why, kasha hirure ver yosem ver. To answer your question, Tamar, that the Gemara says, nevertheless, we said that the Gemara says that Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzarif machshava ra alamaisa. What's a machshava ra? That's just a quick bad thought. But that's not hirure ver. Hirure ver is when you sit and you dwell in it. So when you sit and you dwell, how can I do this avera? How can I go out and find a way to go watch that improper movie? How can I figure out a way to really listen to that music? What can I do to really ruin this person's life? How can I really upset that girl? How can I get back at her? What can I do to really... That's worse than actually just going out and... When you go out and do it, you go out and you did something, you upset her, like you said before, yeah, like Bracha said, you go out, you did something, you didn't think twice, boom, boom, oh, you didn't realize, oh my gosh, I'm sorry I upset you. But when I think about how can I get back at you? How can I get back at you? So I've taken the vehicle that I'm supposed to use to connect to you, right? After Lecha Kamocha, let's make shalom, let's make peace. I've taken it and I've ruined it. How can I instigate? How can I get into a fight? Yeah? So that's what the Rambam says, Kasher Huver Yosem Ever Atzma. So let's think about it now. Let's go back to a Ganav and a Gazlan. Yeah? The Ganav, what does he do? He's planning. He's sitting and he's making all these machinations. How am I going to get into that house? And what am I going to do so that these people don't catch me, so that I'll be able to steal? A Gazlan uses brute force. Come, gun, give me all you got, goodbye, have a good day. Yeah? But he hasn't ruined his koach ha-machshava, right? He's living in a physical realm. What the Ganav has done is he's taken a level of spirituality, ruchani, ruchnius, and he's ruined it. He's using it. He's perverted it. Yeah? That's an amazing, amazing thing. So you say, you pay kefal. You have to pay double, right? So far, so good? Let's go a little bit deeper. Okay? The Beis HaMikdash. Let's talk about Koach HaMachshava a little bit. The Beis HaMikdash, ladies, was a slaughterhouse. That's all it was. When you walked into there, all you saw, right? I'm learning Chulin now. The Gemara in Chulin is just pages and pages and pages and pages. And I learned Zvachim and Menachos for the past year. All it is just pages and pages of just how you're supposed to shech the behema and how you're supposed to put him up and skinning him and bring him up on the mizbech. So you walked in, it becomes very anticlimactic when you're living in a physical world, in a physical reality. So it's very anticlimactic. Because you think, oh, the base of Migdash, when we have the base of Migdash, it's going to be so, the Shechina is going to be there, right? Parsha Struma, Asuli Migdash, right? And you're going to get up there, and you know, it's a sheep and a lamb, and a lot of moos and a lot of bleh. You know, like, this is what it's about. This is what it's about. And what gives the Koach HaKadusha in the base of Migdash is our Koach HaMachshava. So much of these Gemaras talk about what thought process did you have when you went up there. And the Ramban talks about it. When you go and you shech this behemoth, it's supposed to be as if I'm being slaughtered up there on the Mishkan. And you shecht it, and it's my blood because I sinned, and I this, and I that. And it's and all of it is the Koach HaMachshava, the ability. In fact, the Gemara says, you know, when a person goes up and he sends up his korban and he has a wrong Machshava, you know what the picture happens on the Mizbeach? There's a picture suddenly of a Kelev. Do you know that? Isn't that fascinating? Pit'om, this sense, this picture of a kelev appears on the Mizbeach when you had the wrong machshava. Why? Because it's hinting to you, you know you're missing? Your lev. You're just going through the physical actions. Kelev. Yeah? You missed. All you're doing is you're going through the physical motions. You're going through the physical motions of bringing a korban chatas and bringing a Mizbeach. But you're missing. You're acting like a kelev, like the heart. You're missing the heart element of it. It's not there. Yeah? And that's why, by the way, they say that in the times of Mashiach, Pnei Hador kepnei ha kelev. The generation will act like the dog. The face of the generation will be the face like a dog. What's that? What does that mean? It means everything that we're going to do, it's just going to be external motions. It's just going to be physical. It's just going to be, we go, we keep Shabbos, we light candles, we do this, we do kibbutz avim. But there's no neshama behind the mitzvahs. Everything that we're just doing by rote and by routine, and there's no connection. There's no relationship. We're missing the relationship. Yeah? So we just go through the motions, and then we wake up in 5 years or in 10 years and 20 years, and we say, "Wow, I feel so disconnected." You go through the motions of davening, but you've missed what davening is all about. If Chazal say that back in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, back in the times that the Rishonim took an hour before and an hour after their davening, what was that about? So that they could feel from? No, they needed time to like settle back down because they were just in a different plane, but they recognized what tefillah was all about. So we go through the motions and we can spend our whole life, what I call it is a material spirituality. We live in a generation of material spiritualism. That's what we are. We're very religious. All of us are very religious. But it's a material spiritualism. It's a religion where we're doing the external motions of what we're doing. And there's no connection. There's no, and then you wake up in half a year and you're crying. I just don't feel it. Well, what have you been doing to invest in that relationship, right? If I came home, right, I just set a reminder on my calendar every week, buy my wife flowers. So it pops up and I say, you know, truth is I'm a really busy guy, so I'm just going to have somebody deliver it every week, the flowers. That's not nice just to deliver flowers, so I'm going to tell him every week, when you deliver the flowers, please tell her, I love you. So every week, this is very unnerving. You see, I don't know what's happening behind me. What was that? Oh, hello. Hello, how are you? Some things never... So... What? You knew he'd say that? No, you know I'd say that? Oh, great. I'm glad I didn't disappoint. Anyway, so now we could start. So I just want to share a couple of thoughts. No? Yeah, she's just keep going? Okay. All right. Anyway, so it was very nice. Thank you. Good night.
That was a good share.
It was a good share. Okay, anyway. What were we saying?
Flowers.
Oh, flowers. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right? So imagine if I went through those motions and then I said, so I tell this delivery boy, so just, you know, deliver the flowers every week. And I know it's not nice just to deliver flowers, so just tell my wife also, I love you. So that's very nice. So I'm doing this. She's getting flowers every single week. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm even sending a very beautiful message every week. I'm telling her every week, well, dear, I love you, I love you, I love you, every week, right? So that's crazy. And she's going to wake up in 6 months and say, you know, I really feel disconnected. I'm saying, what do you mean? How could you feel disconnected? I send you flowers every single week. Right? And I tell you such sweet things every week, right? No. Because we go through the external motions and we think that those external motions are supposed to automatically, magically connect us in a relationship. And that's not true, right? So she'll say to me, you know, I'd much rather that you don't send the messenger, don't send it every week, send it once a month, but at least come to me you and have meaning behind what you tell me. Yeah? Okay, so we can't do that. We have to daven every day. We have to go there. We have to keep Shabbos every day. It can't be once a month I'll keep Shabbos, but I'll do it with a lot of kavana. No, that doesn't work. You have to keep Shabbos every week. But then we just become routine and accustomed to that. We're like, okay, this is how my Shabbos looks. This is just what it is. So that's missing. That's a problem. By the way, the Shem Mishmuel, and we're getting a little bit deeper now, says that that's why an Eved Ivri, yeah, that's why a Ganav gets sold as an Eved Ivri. What's an Eved Ivri? A guy steals, right, and now he doesn't have money to pay back, so we have to sell him so that he can work off his debt, right? So he can work off his debt. So that's Dafka by a Ganav, not by a Gazlan. Why? So says the Shem Mishmuel, because what a Ganav did is he, so to speak, was mishabed, yeah? Hello, how are you? No, don't apologize. You're not the first to come late. Yeah, because what did the Ganav do? The Ganav was mishabed his machshava, right? The Ganav said, what can I do? What kind of machination did I do that I can go and steal, right? So now we came and we said to him, oh, that's what you're doing. You're taking your ultimate koach, your koach ha-machshava, what you're supposed to use for spirituality, and you're using it now, and you're enslaving it to theft, to stealing, we're going to make you a slave. Mida keneged mida, yeah? An eye for an eye. Mida keneged mida. That's what you're doing? You're enslaving your mind, the one vehicle that you have to use towards spirituality? We're going to enslave you, right? For how many years do we enslave them? How many years is there an Eved Ivri and Eved Ivri? Close, not seven dafka, that's very important, 6 years. Yeah, why 6 years? This gets a little bit deeper now also, okay? Six represents space. There are six sides. There's no more than six sides, right? There's east, west, north, south, up, down, right? A cube is six dimensional, it can't be more, right? Six represents the physical barriers, the here. It's the expression of here. Seven represents the essence of an object. Yeah? Rav Pinkus used to say, you know, you can look at a table, when you see it fragmented and separate, you see it as its parts. So you see, well, I just see four pieces of wood and another plank of wood on top of it. So there's five pieces. Then there's a sixth element called a table. When I put it all together, right? Seven represents the essence of the object, the number seven. An Eved Ivri, yeah, he gets sold after 6 years. Because what you did is you just lived now in the external world. You took the depth, the ruchnius, and you threw it out the window. I'm mishabed just six, that's it. I'm mishabed my koach ha-machshava that gives me the ability to be spiritual, to live in this world, just here, yeah? Sheishas yamim tasa melecha. That's the same idea. 6 days work, and what gives the days meaning? What gives the world meaning? Shabbos, the seventh day. Seventh represents the essence. You didn't work in an essence world, Mr. Eved Ivri, Mr. Ganav, yeah? You took that ability and you made it. Okay. As an aside, by the way, once we're touching on Shabbos, Hashem has three conduits with which he expresses Ruchnias to us, with which he expresses Kedusha to us. And this is a very cool idea, okay? What are the three conduits that he uses? There's Zman, time, there's Makom, place, and there's Guf, body. Meaning Hashem could show ruchnius in this world. Hashem could show kedusha in this world through three different elements: time, space, and body. In time, the ultimate level of kedusha is Shabbos. In space, the ultimate place of kedusha is where? The Beis Hamikdash. And in guf, the ultimate guf of kedusha is a Talmid Chacham. Somebody who's embodied the Torah. Yeah? Now it's a very cool thing, because when you see the parallels, it's amazing. First of all, the halacha is that, and this is psukim that we learn out, that you're not allowed to be mechallel Shabbos for the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Right? You're not allowed to be mechallel Shabbos for the building. Well, why not? Well, it makes a lot of sense. Because Shabbos is the same expression of Kedusha as the Beis Hamikdash. So why would I be mechallel Shabbos so that I could build a Beis Hamikdash? It's the same thing. Just this is in time and this is in space. You get that? So therefore, I don't need to be mechallel Shabbos. There's no point to doing it because I'm getting what I'm trying to get in a Beis Hamikdash, in a holy place, I'm getting through Shabbos. You get that? So why should I bother, or I'm not allowed, to trade one for the other? Do you know that the Gemara in Shabbos says that a Talmid Chacham is called Shabbos? You know that? That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that a Talmid Chacham is called Shabbos. Well, what does that mean? Hello, Rabbi Shabbos. Nice to meet you. Right? No. It's the same idea. He's an expression of that same element of Kedusha as a Beis Hamikdash is. Yeah? And that's why he's called Shabbos. In fact, when we sing Zmiras, how many of you sing Zmiras Shabbos? Yeah, you sing Zmiras Shabbos? Yes, no, or yeah, or your family sings Zmiras Shabbos. So we say a line in Kol Mekadesh Shvi. Yeah, it's the very first Zmira Friday night. Yeah? Ohave Hashem, Hamechakim, Bebinyan Ariel, Beyom Shabbos Kodesh, Sisu Vesimchu, Kemekable Matan Nachliel. You familiar with that line? Yeah? Oh, Havei Hashem, Hamechakim Bebinyan Ariel. Right? Sounds familiar? What does that line mean? Oh, Havei Hashem, those that love God. Hamechakim, they wait. Bebinyan Ariel. What's the Binyan Ariel? The Beis Hamikdash. Ahavei Hashem, Hamechakim Bebinyan. I love Hashem. I'm waiting for the Beis Hamikdash. I'm waiting, Hashem, for your presence to come into this world. I love you so much, Hashem. Right? It's like when you love somebody, you wait for them, right? You wait for them to come from the airport. I love you so much. I'm waiting for you to come, right? So Ahavei Hashem, those that love God, they're waiting for the Binyan Ariel. They're waiting for the Beis Hamikdash. Beyom Shabbos Kodesh, and Shabbos, Sisu Vesimchu. They're happy. Kemekable Mata Nachliel. As if they received that Beis Hamikdash. Why? It's the same thing. Because Shabbos is Beis Hamikdash. Can you imagine that? So we sit here and we're hypocrites. We're not hypocrites, but we don't realize. Because we sit here and we dominate all the, I can't wait for Mashiach to come. I can't wait for the Beis Hamikdash. You know what? You get it every week. You get it every week. You just don't realize. Every week you have the ability to tap into that level of Kedusha. Okay? So that's as an aside. Okay, so our thoughts become our reality. Are we still good on time?
No, we have endless time.
We have what?
We have endless time.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. We have.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So that's point number one. So what we're trying to say really is that we don't realize that our thoughts really create our reality, and our thoughts are really very, 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 very powerful. They're very, very powerful, and we contaminate them often. And so much of what we tell ourselves is sometimes we think negatively and suddenly we feel disconnected and suddenly we feel alone and suddenly we feel this. And all of it is generated by this very spiritual conduit called the machshava. And we contaminate that conduit, we contaminate that pipe that gives us the ability to connect when we think all these negative thoughts. Yeah, positive self-talk or positive self-thinking is a very, very real thing. It's not stop. Okay, so that's step one. I want to go, though, one step deeper. And I told you, this isn't formulated. If I had time, we'd be able to... Okay, but so far, so good. Okay, let's just have to build this together. Okay, let's go a little bit deeper, though, okay? We'll take it one step deeper. In fact, we're not even our thoughts. You see, if you noticed, when I said our thoughts, I kept saying, it's a conduit, it's a conduit. It's not spirituality in and of itself. And this is where it gets tricky, because we identify ourselves through different elements. And we don't identify ourselves with what we are in the core. Let that sink in for a second. What do I mean by that? So I saw a very interesting idea. Rabbi Aaron, yeah, Rabbi David Aaron, so he once gave a very nice mashal. He once said like this. He said he once went to the gym, okay? He went to the gym once because he wanted to work on his cardio, okay? He wanted to work on his cardio, so he went to the gym. Now, it happens to be, he didn't realize, but this was a gym that really focused on weightlifting. Okay, a little less cardio weightlifting. So he walked into this gym, and all these guys are like super buff and like built and like all these guys got muscles popping out of everywhere, you know what I mean? And he's looking around, there's no cardio going on. So he goes over to one of these trainers who's like this, you know, hulk of a guy, and he says to him, like, what do I do here? So he said, well, over here, you know, we build muscle. You know, we build muscle over here. So he looks at all these guys who are like all puffed up, and he says to him, like, why? Like, why would I want to do that? Like, cardio, okay, so you get the respiratory system going, and it's healthy, and it's this, but you have to build muscle. So there's reason to build muscle. That's not our conversation, right? But his question is like, well, you know, so but why would you do that? So the guy said to him, well, I'll tell you the truth. He's like, you know, when I tell you for myself, he said, when I was younger, he's like, you know, I really didn't have much of a self-esteem. And, you know, I was like all nervous and this, and, you know, I decided to go to the gym, and some guys introduced me to, like, you know, pumping iron, and, you know, so I did it, and I really started to get buff, and I really started to feel good about myself, and people started to comment, and, you know what I mean, and, you know, and then girls would look at me, and I would do this, and I would do that, and, like, hey, you know, so I realized, like, hey, this is the way to go, and, you know, that's why I do it. You know, and that's who I am. You know, I pump iron, and I look really good, and that's what I do. And Rabbi Aaron said to him, well, I don't know if he said to him, that's pretty scary to say to a guy like that. You know what I mean? But he thought to himself, so what you're saying is you've defined your essence, yourself, based on your physique. You've defined yourself based on, so what happens when you get older? What happens when your muscles start to sag? What happens when you pull a hamstring and you can't work out or exercise? So your whole sense of self now goes down the tubes? Or you have a sense of self only for 20, 30 years? Another area that we do this in all the time, but we define ourselves based on that. Yeah? I am this. Another area where we do this all the time is money. Money is a super popular way to attach ourselves and our self-worth to something. Especially because it's so sought after and it's given so much value. So that if I have it, I'm worth something. And if I don't, I'm not. Right? And that's a very big thing. I once said a very interesting, I think it's very interesting anyway, so I said it. But I once said a very interesting shot. I never saw this anyway. I think it's my shot, but I said like this. Klal Yisrael, they left the Midbar. Right? No. That's a lot. I mean, yes, but that's not what I mean. Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. And when they left Mitzrayim, the Chazal say that each one was a multimillionaire. Right? Multimillionaire. Each one had, the Gemara says, Chazal, the Medrash says, each one had 90 donkeys, each donkey laden with gold and silver. That's what the Chazal say. Okay? Can you imagine? A donkey carries a lot. Each one laden, full, gold and silver, full, full, full. So these guys were not lacking. And then they cross the Yam Suf, and they get the Bizas Hayam, right? All the chariots and the gold wheels and this, that, they pulled in a little bit more money. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal say, Psalach HaLuchos, when he made the Luchos, so it says that the fragments of the Luchos were worth millions, they were precious gems. He became wealthy individually. All of them super rich. Okay? So that they weren't lacking. Where did Hashem take them out to? The Midbar. Is that like a joke? It's like you win the Powerball, right? And you can go off to the desert over there. So now not only is it worthless, you're carrying around like 90 donkeys full of gold and silver. Like what could you do with all this money in the Midbar? Hello! How are you? You did already. No, just Thank you so much for letting us use your home.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Yes. Pleasure. It's really my pleasure. Yeah? So you have all this, money, and you have nothing to do with it. You're in the midbar. It's like a cruel joke, right? What's up, Shad? You ever think about that? Ubnesho Yotzin Biyad Rama. Yeah, they're coming out super wealthy. Thank you very much, Hashem. So one step shot like this. Hashem wants to teach us the real value of money. You know what it's worth? Nothing. As much as you can do with it in the midbar. But you find that they did two things with it. What were the two things that they did with the money?
Egel and the Mishkan.
The way you allocate your money is what gives it value. You could use it, and these were the two extremes. You could take money and you can use it for Avodah Zarah. The Egel Azav, the ultimate Avodah Zarah. You could take money and you can allocate it towards the Mishkan, towards Kedusha, towards the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what gives it value. Right? But it's when I take money and I use it as my own self-worth, my own value. So we all start to get very depressed because of the rat race and the pressure and the lachatz and the anti-anxieties and the sleepless nights and the stressors and the people on EKGs and cardiograms. For what? Because money became my Elohei Chesef, Elohei Zahav. Quite literally, Elohei Kesef, Elohei Zahav. Yeah? But when I attribute that to my own self-worth, that's what I am. All right? Let's go one more. We are lonely beings. That's what we are. We feel very alone. All of us. Let's call a spade a spade. And what we do is we look for things to attach to us or to hold on to so that that loneliness shouldn't permeate and shouldn't take over us. Yeah? We feel levad. Yeah? That's how we are. And so we look for different objects or different elements or different ways. And in fact, it's not just us. This is something that goes way back, way back. Yeah? Avram Avinu was called Ivri. She Yashav Be'Aver Hanar. He was on one side of the world, everybody else on the other. He was alone. Yaakov Avinu, Vayivater Yaakov Levadam. You know that song? Vayivater Yaakov Levadam, right? Yeah. Levadam. He was alone. And loneliness is a painful feeling. And so we use whatever we can to try to numb that pain. It's because we never take the time to try to connect to what our real essence is. And everything comes and goes and comes and goes and comes and goes. See, Hashem gifted us. He gifted us and He cursed us. Okay? He gifted us and cursed us with something called the mind. And that mind is always anticipating. An animal doesn't anticipate. An animal just acts, lives here and now. We anticipate, so we feel pressured all the time. Well, I know I'm good now, but what's going to be if? What's going to be if I, you know, my job falls through? What's going to be if I never get married? What's going to be if you know, my husband doesn't treat me right? What's going to be if, you know, I have a disease, God forbid? All these very real fears, yeah? And that overtakes us, yeah? And so we need to numb it. So the world works on numbing their thoughts. You can't. You just can't do it. Yeah? And then when you identify yourself with those thoughts, so then you become anxious, you become depressed, you overeat, you go on drugs, you take anything to numb. All these negative that's permeating society now. Right? Where's that coming from? Where's it coming from? Because we can't be with ourselves. And what is ourselves, huh?
Nothing.
No? Just no good?
What?
No good?
What did you say?
No good?
Leave me
okay, no, okay, I don't know. Okay. I'm going to tell you something. This is why death is so shocking to us. When we go through a death experience, when we lose a loved one, it's shocking. Because we don't just identify ourselves with everything around us. We identify others like that as well. And suddenly when that person is gone, it could be a most powerful person. How could it be that they're gone? Then what was that person? Who was that person? And you missed it. What that person was really, and what we're supposed to identify with, is not even our thoughts, but with the godly element of us. What we are, really, is a neshama. What we are really is godly. And a neshama is constant. And a neshama never goes. Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, what's your name? And Hashem says, Eheye Asher Eheye. I will be as I am. I'm always the same. I'm consistent. I never move. Life around me doesn't affect my essence. You know this ring that Shlomo HaMelech used to wear, right? You all get it. All the seminary girls get it at some point, either on a necklace or on a ring. Gamzu Latova, right? Gimel Zayin Tet. What? Gamze Yavor. Sorry, Gamze Yavor. Gamze Yavor. You see? Oh, something's coming again. Gamze Yavor. Gamze Yavor. Right? Did you get the Gamze? You did the Gamze? Right. Gamze Yavor. So what do we think Gamze Yavor usually? Gamze Yavor you usually mean because it kept him humble. It kept Shlomo HaMelech humble. If he got very, very rich, chill out, man. Gamze Yavor, right? If he was really depressed and poor, a Gamze Yavor, right? Don't worry about it. It's a cycle. It's all okay, right? He's having a hard day, Gamze Yavor. He's having an ecstatic day, chill, man. Gamze Yavor, right? There's something even deeper than that. The Gamze Yavor is that all these external things that are going on, all of it is fleeting and passing. Zeyavor, 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 because that's not the essence of where we're living. That's not who we are. That's not what we're about. And that was the reminder that Shlomo HaMelech was giving himself. Gam zeyavor is what I am is not anything that happens around me. I am my essence. The Nisayon of Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha wasn't go for yourself. Lech Lecha was go to yourself. Lech Lecha, there's a chazal that says, Lech El Atzmecha. Don't get lost with everything around you. Don't define yourself. And that, you know what my proof is that it wasn't just a physical experience. Because if I tell somebody, I want you to go out, right? So what's the first thing you go out of? The house, right? So Lech Lecha, Mi beischa, right? And then mi moladidcha, and then leave your house, leave where you were born, and then leave your country. Right? If I did it on a physical exile, then it would be based on my physical presence. First I'm at home, lech lecha mi beischa, umi moladcha, umi artzecha. But the Torah says it exactly the opposite. Lech lecha me'artzecha, umi moladcha, umi beis avicha. It's backwards. First, if I'm walking out, I'm walking out of my house. So what's lech lecha me'artzecha, umi moladcha, umi beis avicha? Because Hashem is telling Avram, disconnect, and I'm going from light to heavy. I'm connected to my country, right? And I identify myself as American. I am American. You are American? What if America gets taken over now by the Brits? You know, we took over America from the Brits, right? What happens if it happens the other way? So now you've lost your sense of identity? Oh no, now I'm British. Oh, so you were American? Well, yeah, because is that who you are? No, it's not. That's just a name tag that you've attached, right? So Hashem tells him, Lech lecha me'artzecha, disconnect from your association with your country. Not don't be American. You could be American. That's good, yeah? But you don't identify yourself as yourself. That's not who I am. That's what I act as. Me'artzecha, umi moladetecha. And then even mi beis avicha, you want to know a little secret? You're not even your home. You're not even your family. Because even that, as stable as that feels and sounds, that's not also. That's also fleeting. Is that amazing? So I'll tell you, we need to feel security. We need to feel safe because we don't. We feel alone and we don't tap into the godliness of us. So Hashem does something for us. Hashem says, build me a house. What does a house represent? Safety, security, right? But a house is just safety and security from the physical elements. A wind can't come in. I can lock the door, nobody's going to come in. But it doesn't protect me from these elements. It doesn't protect me from these elements. So Hashem says, I want a representation of a house that I can dwell in. Yeah? Ve'asu li mikdash v'shachanti betocham betoch kol echad ve'echad. Put me in you, says Hashem. I'll be your home. You get it? That's what the Mishkan is. It's not just some edifice. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti betocham betoch kol echad ve'echad means bring me into your being. I'm your security. I'm your house. What do we tell an Avel? What do we tell an Avel when they're sitting in mourning, when they have the most extreme reaction? I thought you were all these things, and suddenly I've realized very strongly and very starkly that you're not these things. What words do we say? What's Hamakom Yenachem Eschem? Hamakom Yishem Hashem. Why do we use that Shem Hashem? Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. The place will comfort you. Because what's the comfort? That Hashem, you are the place. You are the place that I connect, that I find comfort. Yeah? You are the place of security. I want to tell you something. You have a bit of an advantage. Or single girls, I'll even say, have a bit of an advantage. Because this idea of identifying or associating myself with my soul, with my neshama, so to speak. Yeah, okay, I'm going to wrap up, right? This idea of associating or identifying myself with my neshama is very, very hard because we're constantly living in a world of all these other, like, fragments and pieces that I identify with, right? Even though all these things that I have are just the props that I need so I could play my role. Right? All of them are good. It's important. Don't get me wrong. A Navi has to have money. A Navi has to be smart. A Navi has to be strong. The Rambam writes, in order to be a Navi, you need these things. These are elements that are necessary to use. It's just that I don't identify myself as those things. But I need those things. So that's very hard because I'm supposed to interact with all these things, but realize that that's not me. I am my neshama. So that's hard. It's a hard balance, right? It's very hard to keep that in mind all the time. Even the ultimate relationship, an ish and an isha. Yeah? What creates that bond in that relationship? The yod of the ish and the hey of the isha. Only the fact that I recognize that there's God involved over here. Because if not, it's also the most secure relationship that you would think. That is the most secure relationship. No, it's nothing. It's fire. Fire eats, just eats away. It's nothing. It's gone. If there's no point of God. So I'll tell you the advantage you have. Because sometimes when as a single girl, you feel it's scary. And you feel alone. That's the word you feel. That's nothing more than that. You feel very alone. Yeah? And then sometimes you think to yourself, if I had a spouse, I would be more settled. I would be more secure. And then you get married and you fall into that trap. Then now I feel settled and I'm secure. Or I have a good job, so I feel settled and secure. Or I have this and I'm settled and secure. And you don't realize that you're... And suddenly it's gone and suddenly people, they just don't know what to do with themselves. When you have it in your face and you have that sense of loneliness, Hashem, every emotion that we experience, every emotion is rooted in spirituality. The emotion of loneliness was created so that we can recognize that there is nothing that can comfort and give me security but Hamakom, but Hashem. That's the only security that I can have. Yeah? So you're in a position or in a stage of life where you have it in your face, in your face, in your face, in your face. You can't escape it, right? I'm in a position where I'm married 20 plus years. I have to remind myself, no, it's not my wife. It's gonna, she's not the... I have a very good relationship with my wife. I love her very much. That's not the point. You get that? That's not it. You can fall into that trap like anything else, right? So sometimes a good exercise to do, and with this I'll leave you off. The Eish Kodesh says, the Eish Kodesh says you can do an exercise for yourself just to sometimes bring this idea of just like my being is the godliness of me, not even my thoughts is my being. Sit in a room alone, okay? And in your mind, just let your mind just race, you know, just let it go. And see how you're flooded with a million different thoughts, do this by yourself for 5 minutes, and you're flooded, and do that until you kind of like begin to observe yourself hearing your thoughts. You get that? I'm no longer that thought, but I'm not like, I'm watching the thoughts. Oh, I can't believe I thought that. Who's the I? Aren't you that thought? No, now I'm this thought. No, you know, you can go and drive yourself crazy, right? The answer is, hey, how are you? So nice to see you. All right. Right? It feels uncomfortable for me also. It's a room full of girls, and it's just me. Why did
you have
to have
a girls
come? What? Mistake. Yeah. Till you begin to observe your thoughts. And when you begin to observe your thoughts, then you start to realize, oh wait, I'm something beyond even just the thoughts. Yeah? And the more you tap into the fact that I am a neshama, and that's constant and consistent, that's ve'ahavta lo'echa kamocha. I mean, you can go on and on about this. What's the ve'ahavta lo'echa kamocha? How can I love you like me? The answer is because you are the same piece of me that I am. The piece of connection that we are is the godliness that we all possess. We're all just, right? I think he said once very beautifully, right? Rabbi Aaron once said, if you know, imagine God as being the ultimate light. Okay, he's this piece of light. Okay, I have to finish, I know that. But he's this ultimate light, right? He's this light. And then you take a piece of paper, right? You cut holes in it, right? You heard this? Huh? I said this on Purim?
Yeah.
You think I remember? What did I do? Nah, don't be silly. I would never do that. Anyways, chuck the tape. and you write? Okay, so you don't... Anyway, you take this piece of paper, right? And you put it over there. So you have this light. And the light is shining through. So now it's shining through. So now it has lots... It's fragmented, right? It's just lots of beams of light. It's like rays of light, right? So we're all those rays of light, but it's all the same source. It's just covered up by Olam Hazeh. It's just covered up by our physicality. I'm a body and you're a different body, so we're all different. But we're all really the same ray of light, right? It's just that it's broken up here for whatever reason, right? But really, that's V'ahavta L'cha Kamocha. And the more I identify myself as that ray of light, and then I see you as that ray, and I see you as that ray, and I see you as that ray also, so then we're all really coming to, of course, V'ahavta L'cha Kamocha. Because you are, it's not like an avoda. Oh yeah, I really hate her. Oh no, I have to remember to love her. Right, oh, I hate her. No, I'm going to remember to love her. What I'm loving is the being of who you are. I might not like the actions you do. I can disagree with that. I can be upset. I can take issue with that, right? But be'etzem, I love you as a being, right? That's what V'ahavta L'cha Kamocha is, right? So again, I know these ideas are a little bit like, I know. Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, I have like so much time to put it together. But if we, I think if we like incorporate...
Yeah,
that
was really great.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Okay, so if you take the time, and really thank you again for having me.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.